God's grace, His mercy, and His peace belong to you. From God our Father and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Words are on the screen. You can follow along as I read them. As we continue our worship and our sermon series theme, United as the Church of Christ, by the Gospel of Jesus, and today, the question, which church for me? John 16, 12 through 15. Jesus' words on the night before he died, his words in the upper room to his disciples. He said this, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what I will make known to you. These are the words of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, do you suffer from pervectophobia? It's such a long word, it wouldn't even fit on the screen, and I just left it. I had never heard of pervectophobia either until I invented the word. It is Latin. You can translate it. Someone really smart here maybe could translate it for us. But it is fear of the drive-through. And more exactly, fear of the drive-through menu. And for me, Culver's does it every time. You're one car away from the sign and you can't read it. And so then all of a sudden it's your turn, you pull up, and it's 5 feet away. And within seconds, the voice comes. Welcome to Culver's, may I help you? And with this brain, information overload, danger warning, tilt. Can I have a minute? And then quickly, you scan as fast as you can, thinking, I don't want to have a butter burger again, and I kind of wanted a concrete mixer, but wow, there's so much. And so being me, I pull the ace out of my sleeve, and I say calmly, I will take a butter burger meal, please, deluxe, with the 2-scoop flavor of the day. Thank you. So I eat the same thing every time, except the flavor switches up. Unless my wife is along, and she's aggressive, she is fearless. And she'll say, honey, why don't we switch it up a bit and have something different? I hear the chicken cashew salad is good. So I'll say, I'll take a chicken cashew salad. Make it 2 of them, please. And I'm thinking to myself, you have got to be kidding me. It's a burger joint, and I'm ordering a salad. Wow! Pervectophobia, fear of the drive-thru. Now imagine if you had been raised in the home that was not Christian. And you did not know the identity of God. Yet somehow, you just sensed his presence in the world. He exists. But the drive-through menu is intimidating. So many choices. There we go. So many choices. Which one is true? Which is the right choice for me? I guess I'll just do the usual, pull the ace out of my sleeve and say, hey, you know, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, I'll sleep late, I'll get up, I'll go ride my bike in the Kettle Moraine. That's what I do. But then there's this person at work, this friend, who keeps referencing Jesus throughout the day. And you play it coy, especially when he invites you to his church, and you say, I'm good. I just ride my bike. But there's something about his life that intrigues you, that pulls at you. And you find yourself driving up to the next drive-through, and you go, whoa, again, too many choices. Why can't these Christians at least be on the same page and land on truth? God is so confusing. You know, I'm just going to ride my bike. Which church? You know, for me, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Jesus, me, and STP, St. Paul's. Easy. But what about you? What about you? The night before he died for the sin of the world, Jesus shared his heart with his disciples. But eventually he had to stop sharing his heart and go radio silence because they weren't ready. He said to them, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come." Jesus promised it, didn't he? Truth, and truth that we can know. Now, in theory, everyone wants to know truth with the capital T, absolute truth, right? If Google Maps would be wrong 4 out of every 10 times you used it, you would delete it off your phone. People have been grumbling this morning about the weather and about their weather app and wondering how much do they pay those meteorologists anyway to get it wrong all the time. Sorry, Mike. In theory, we want the truth. And Jesus says we can have the truth with a capital T. Earlier that same evening, Jesus had declared, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Truth according to Jesus. And then after he rose from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said this to his followers. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Remember Pentecost? What looked like tongues of fire settling on their heads and the sound of a rushing wind from heaven and the disciples speaking in languages not their own, the truth about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said, the truth of God, just like Jesus said. Where can we find truth like that today? Well, as Christians, we run to the Holy Scriptures, to the Bible, the message of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of truth who came at Pentecost gave us this book as surely as he enabled those disciples to speak in languages not their own, the truth about Jesus Christ. I encourage you to take your Bibles later today and crack it open to Acts 2 and dive deeply into that Pentecost event and go, wow, wow, the Spirit there. Now, Peter, the lead prophet at Pentecost, he wrote this later in his ministry. He told God's people, "Prophecy, preaching, never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." You see, that's why we Christians run to the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit is there, the Spirit of truth. But there's another reason why we Christians run to the Word of God. Because we sense that it is true. The Bible declares that the guilt we feel is real and deserved, and that message resonates deep in us. The Bible declares that the sin that we do hurts others and eventually us, and that message resonates in us. It is true. And then the Bible declares to us that the sin and the guilt that is ours is removed, taken away, washed clean, forgiven, free of charge in the blood of Jesus. An unbelievable message, right? Unless you believe it. And that, too, is the gift of the Spirit of truth at work in you. Think of what Paul told the Thessalonians. He said this, "From the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work, the making holy work of the Holy Spirit, through belief in the truth." You know, it's funny. though not all people in the world believe these messages of Scripture, yet the entire world responds to it. Many people grab hold of them in faith. Many push them away, rejecting them, wanting them to not be true. The world responds. Think what Jesus did to Pontius Pilate. Jesus shook Pontius Pilate in his spirit on Good Friday, simply speaking about truth. Listen to what he said to Pontius Pilate. He said, "Pilate, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And Pilate could not shake Jesus' words. You see, Jesus Christ divides the world, but because Jesus claims to be the truth of the Almighty One God embodied in him. And that's a message of Jesus as the world's Savior that has power because the Spirit of truth is there. Now, think about this. What does the world do with truth that it knows to be absolute? Well, when I was in high school, I worked for a farmer for 3 years. Wally Ebert was a man, you can go ahead to the next slide. Wally Ebert was a no-nonsense farmer. A no-nonsense guy, and we were cutting brush, and the chainsaw was running. We were out of gas. Wally was smoking a cigarette, because he always did, and I couldn't get his attention because the chainsaw was so loud. So I took the gas can, and I held it up in front of his face, and I said, "Wally, should I get some more gas?" And in that moment, my life exploded, not because of the gas can, but because of a farmer who saw an early death coming his way. And Wally stepped back and threw down his cigarette butt, and he called on the name of the Almighty God. And did I get a butt chewing that I have not forgotten until this day? Because you see, the world reacts to absolute truth. Which makes me think of my friend Jeff. Had lunch with him a week and a half ago. And Jeff shared with me his story of absolute truth and how it impacted him and his family. 3 weeks ago, Jeff's daughter, 19 years old, got married to a 20-year-old, a U.S. paratrooper in the U.S. Army about to be deployed. Jeff would tell you, "My daughter is an old soul. She's 19 going on 30. So when the call came from the young man asking for her hand in marriage, wisdom reined Dad in. And Dad said to the young man, "I could give you 50 reasons why you're both too young to get married. But I get it." And by the way, two Christian young people from the same Christian high school. 50 reasons why you should not get married. You're too young, but I get it. But my wife and I have one question to ask you. And with tears in his eyes, he said, "We want our daughter to be in heaven one day. Are you that guy?" Absolute truth. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Jesus is real. And Jesus promised that we would have the truth. What do we do with that truth? Well, what did the triune God do with capital T truth? He foresaw our fall into sin, our rebellion and death. He owned our truth. He owned our predicament. And then he planned and wrote his own truth. And he has owned our salvation plan every step of the way for a long, long time. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul tells us, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. With all wisdom and understanding, God made known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. My friends, this is authentic relationship that you and I enjoy with the triune God. For he is the author of truth, truth written and based upon his love. Which is why Jesus' words to his disciples just mean so much when he said to them, "The Spirit of truth will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine," Jesus says. Intellectual capital, everything. "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Did you pick up on the triune God's focus on brand alignment? Brand alignment is key. And each member of the triune God has his role. Now, brand alignment. Nike gets brand alignment. The swoosh and nothing but the swoosh, so help me Nike, right? The NFL, the National Football League, is the king of brand alignment and marketing. What else would get grown men to wear suits like that on Color Rush Thursdays? And then there's Culver's, that every Culver's looks the same, and every Culver's menu is the same. That's intended to help those of us who have parvectophobia, fear of the drive-through menu. Same with our God, brand alignment for our comfort. God the Father planned what you see on the screen. God the Son lived it, what you see on the screen. And to God the Holy Spirit has been tasked the job of brand alignment, sharing the truth of God with the world. And how is the world saved? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, why is God so focused on brand alignment that Jesus would give us these words? Well, maybe it helps for us to take some truths about dominoes to help us understand God's concern for his truth. If your goal is beauty and symmetry and motion, every truth of the Bible must be allowed to stand exactly where the artist placed it. For then the work of the artist, when it begins to move and flow, blesses God's people, blesses the Christian throughout his or her life. At the same time, if one shifts the truth of God, removes the truth of God, God lets us know that that puts in danger, it impacts his message, it impacts the blessing of people. Which is why Jesus told us in Matthew 28, commanded us, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." You know, Wally Ebert knew the properties of gasoline, that you could not cheat it. My friend Jeff knows Satan and temptation enough to know he needed to advocate for his daughter and her future. And so he said, "Are you the guy to usher our daughter to heaven's gate?" The triune God saw the hurt of sin and of death. And in love for us, he owned every domino of our salvation, every one. And then he promised us the truth of Jesus so that his truth would flow into our lives with beauty and symmetry to his glory and to our joy. Karen will be a member of St. Paul's. You will see her on the announcement slides in a coming week. You'll know her, Karen with an I-N. Karen has been that's not her, by the way. But Karen has been a Christian since she was a little girl. Reading her Bible, loving her Jesus, from church to church to church on two different continents. And as she read his word, she often would not hear from his pulpit the truth of what she was reading in her Bible. And for 40 years, four decades, she has been praying, "God, take me to my church. Let me find my church. Let me find you." And she would tell you, that one day she visited St. Paul's. And she would tell you, I discovered that I had come home. She sat through our new member class following the promise with passages swirling in her head, and she challenged the word and she challenged the presenter. And I said to her, your job is to dive deeply into the Word of God and to test St. Paul's. And if we are being truthful to Jesus, if we are not lying about him, if we are sharing his words, then this just might be the church for you. As long as we share Jesus and who he is, and as long as we share his words. You see, to know the triune God is to dive deeply into his truth. Personal Bible study takes away panic and fear of the menu. Personal Bible study prepares us to order well. So when the voice says, God bless you today, I am ready for your order whenever you are, God's people smile and sit back in peace and say, I am ready. I am ready to order. I'll take Jesus, please. And all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Great God and Lord, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you on this Father's Day that you are such a Father to us. We think about the fathers among us in this room today, fathers who knew what it was like to be little, fathers who knew what it was like to be children, fathers who looked ahead and decided, I need to love my children the way I was loved, and we learned that best from you, Father in heaven. You owned our predicament before the creation of the world. You wrote a response to that predicament in your Son, Jesus. And you promised us that we can know all truth from you. Guide us in our personal journeys that we do not forget to dive deeply into your word each and every day. Fuel us by your word to know you as our Savior and Lord. And then to be actively involved in a church that teaches you. May St. Paul's be that church for us this day and always. May the bridge be a place where the truth of Jesus shines for all who visit and for all who return and for all who listen online. May you, our Father in heaven, always be the best Father on Father's Day because you sent your Son and because you gave us not a card but a book about our Jesus. So thank you for being our Savior, God. Thank you for blessing us with your word and your presence. Thank you for giving us fathers this day. And Heavenly Father, we also bring before you today in our own thoughts and minds all the people connected to our lives, all the people connected to this congregation who are going through suffering, travail, surgery. We ask that you would be with them, strengthen them in faith to trust you, strengthen their bodies for healing, and give to the surgical staff skill to your glory. And as you continue to bless us as our Creator Father and as our spiritual Father, may we keep coming back to your book, to your place, trusting that 1 + 2 = 3, Jesus, me, and as long as you give this place breath, St. Paul's, the bridge. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. And together, God's people say, amen.